This is Success Without Stress with Bob Roth on Sirius XM Indy 104.
Hello, this is Bob Roth, and I am here today with two actually very close friends and two of the top medical researchers and medical experts on the effects of meditation in general and specifically transcendental meditation on health. And very fortunate at this time to be able to explore in some detail what exactly is meditation, how does it work, what results does it provide us, is it practical, is it useful, is there a religion or a philosophy behind it? And then we're going to really focus in on one specific technique, transcendental meditation, which I know many of the listeners know. I've been practicing for 45 years and been teaching it for 42 years. And I head up the David Lynch Foundation, which is a nonprofit 501c3, which has been bringing transcendental meditation to hundreds of thousands of at-risk populations. I'm going to go right into this thing. I am with Dr. Norman Rosenthal, who is a clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown Medical School. He's been listed as one of the best doctors in America and is one of the country's top psychiatrists. He was the first researcher to describe seasonal affective disorder, SAD, and he also pioneered the use of light therapy as a treatment for SAD, which is now used by millions of people. Specifically for what we're talking about here, he is the author of many books, but in particular, his book Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through Transcendental Meditation was a New York Times bestseller. And I'm also with Dr. Pam Peek. By the way, Norm, I'm going to refer to you as Dr. Norm from here on out rather than Dr. Rosenthal. And I'm with Dr. Pam Peek. And Dr. Peek is an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Maryland and a fellow of the American College of Physicians. She's the chief medical correspondent for Discovery Health TV. She's also a New York Times bestselling author, and she is a triathlete, a senior Olympian, and a member of the National Senior Games Foundation. So we're going to get right into this thing. Dr. Rosenthal, why should our listeners be interested in meditation in general?
Well, I think firstly, if they want to live longer, they should meditate. You know, just as somebody who has looked through all the information, all the data on meditation, there are like 100 things I could tell you. But one thing is, there are now 2 studies that show that your chances of getting a heart attack or a stroke within the next 10 years are reduced by about 25% if you meditate. So I often say to people, you know, I would take castor oil twice a day if it reduced my risk of heart attack and stroke by 25%. But this is not castor oil. This is a wonderful process that enriches my day and the day of millions of people. So there are tons of reasons. Live longer, live better. Those are the 2 best reasons.
Before I go to Dr. Pam, are all meditations the same?
All meditations are not the same. There are other kinds of meditations like mindfulness, like focused attention, where you do something different with your brain. And because you're doing something different with your brain, it has a different effect on you. So you can't go from one to another. The other thing is transcendental meditation. That word is not accidental. It refers to the state of transcendence, a profound, beautiful, specific state of consciousness that is absolutely specific to this kind of meditation.
Thank you, Dr. Norm. Now, Dr. Pam, you're a triathlete. You're a powerful woman, busy, 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 busy. How the heck did you ever get involved in meditation, specifically transcendental meditation?
Lest you think that we're all a bunch of people who are, you know, chewing on granola and arugula all day long.
We're not.
Oh, geez, did I get the wrong? Is this the wrong
this
show?
This is the wrong show.
Damn, I hate it when I go into the wrong Sirius
XM. I thought we had
studio.
Dr. Pam Peek here.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
It's really important, you know, to infuse a lot of reality into this. So many Americans out there, or so many people everywhere, are sitting back saying, help, because they're stressed up to their gills. And, you know, they say to themselves, well, I don't have time for this. I don't even have time to breathe. I have to schedule breathing. How am I going to possibly wedge in or crowbar in even a moment or two of what we're calling kind of that incredible, blissful, transcendent moment. Why would I want to do that? What's the incentive to doing this? Well, Dr. Norm, my BFF in science and my wonderful, wonderful friend and colleague, has made it very clear that there are some fantastic health benefits and there are reasons why you should do it just for the purpose of the higher quality of life and longevity. We have this in science. But what's going to get you off the launch pad? What's going to get you off the launch pad is being convinced that it is as essential as breathing. People have asked a million times, Bob and Dr. Norm, you know, if I had 20 minutes, why would I want to meditate? I could do one of the 335,000 things on my to-do list, which never seems to go anywhere. And my answer to you is this. If you did take a moment, and certainly 20 minutes to meditate first thing in the morning, then you would have fewer things on that to-do list, and the ones that were left, you'd do better.
I'm here with Dr. Norman Rosenthal and Dr. Pam Peek. Dr. Norm, describe, define for our listener, what is transcendental meditation?
Well, it's a simple process, transcendental meditation. You don't have to sit in a double lotus position. You sit comfortably, you close your eyes, and then you think a sound, a word, a mantra that you're specially given by a TM teacher. Transcendental meditation is TM. You think the mantra in a special way, and that's a really important part of the story, because it's not just what is this mantra, what is this magic word, it's what is the process by which you use the word in such a way that almost magically, and I know I'm a scientist, so I don't like to use the word magic, but the subjective experience is you slip into a state that's not waking, not sleeping, not dreaming. It's a state of what's called pure consciousness, where your body is very much at rest. It slows down. Your breathing slows down. And you're very alert, but you're very calm at the same time. And this state is associated with very special changes in brain waves, which have actually been measured. And I can tell you all about them, but maybe I should. There are waves called alpha rhythms that are associated with calm self-reflection, and these pass over the front of the brain in a huge flux of blissful calm. And this is the hallmark and centerpiece of this meditation, because from this state of transcendence, everything else that we'll discuss is going to flow.
Okay, now, Dr. Norm. So someone is sitting out there listening, and they're saying, really? Well, I'm going to tell you my problem, Dr. Norm. Every time I've tried to sit down under a tree and stare at my belly button, or just to take a moment, as I always say, you do have a license to chill, you know, that they can't stop the to-do list. They can't stop the thoughts, that the toxic thoughts that keep coming and going and back and forth, and they can't seem to get out of a place where they feel wound up, stressed up, and back and forth. And you said something that was really cool. You said that you're in a kind of a paradoxical place of restful alertness, where all thoughts are okay. There's no intention. The thoughts are coming and going, and that's okay. And you're just not doing any kind of work here. You're just naturally going to a place and letting the thoughts come and go. I think that that is really, really key to think about in this particular, you know, kind of meditation, transcendental meditation, because I think, and Bob, you've heard this a million times, that people think that it's work, that you got to work it, that there's intention.
Comment?
You know, Dr. Pam, I love your analogy to, you know, stop the thoughts, because we've all tried to stop things that are unstoppable. And there are many experiences in life, for example, sleep or love, where the more you go after it, the more it runs away. I want love. So you chase this girl or this guy or this whoever, and you want to go after it and go after it and after it, and it just won't happen. Or I got to get to sleep. I got to wake up early tomorrow morning, and sleep doesn't come. There's certain experiences in life where you have to do something else, and then sleep comes and finds you. Love comes and finds you. And it's the same with transcendence. You can't say, damn it, I'm sitting down here, I'm going to transcend. It's not going to work that way. You have to do the specific technique, which has evolved over thousands of years. It's not something that somebody discovered last year in California. This is something that's evolved from ancient teachings over thousands of years, and they figured it out.
Well, you know, primally, it's about be, not do. We're human beings, not doings. And I think it's time to take a moment, everyone, and realize, for crying out loud, right now, take a deep breath. All right, now, hop off the gerbil wheel. Just for a second. Now sit down, you know, and just turn off everything around you. How does that feel? Yeah, I know, you're scared. And it's pretty freaky, too, because you're used to all the background, everything going on. All right? This is where we begin this beautiful process that Dr. Norm has been beginning to describe, which is just being and allowing. And it's absolutely, as Bob has said so many times, a completely primal, natural process, just allowing yourself to transcend.
You know, Dr. Pam, I really think there are so many ways to live a better life. Deep breaths, healthy living, not overstressing yourself. These are all really important things. But one thing I don't want our listeners to come away with, and that is that all these things are going to equally take you to a transcendent place. For example, somebody says, I pray, it's exactly the same. Well, I think people get an amazing amount out of prayer. People, it's transformative, but it's different. I jog, so I transcend. I would beg to suggest that this is a very specific way.
Oh, you said that deliberately, Dr. Norm, because you know that I'm a triathlete, and I've been working out since I was an embryo. Seriously. Well, that's why I said it. I am in the right studio, aren't I? I used to think, before you enlightened me as you were writing the book Transcendence, as an athlete, I got my highs from my runs, from biking, from swimming, and just being outdoors, hiking on a beautiful mountain, watching the sunrise, sunset. Those are really transformative and very enjoyable experiences. My reward center lit up like Kyoto at nighttime. Sure, all of those things are great. But you know what's interesting is I had to work it for each one of those. And that's why I felt like this transcendent experience was something so new for me. And so I'm really glad you brought up these other experiences, because I think people misinterpret and maybe don't understand how we apply transcendence.
You know, Dr. Pam, I hope you don't mind my mentioning this, but, you know, it was not an easy sell to get you to do TM in the first place.
Oh,
you know,
are we done way with back. The show yet? I have to go now.
We go way back, and I know you like me and respect me, but I remember trying to, you know, tell you about this thing, and you weren't all that impressed, as I recall.
Oh, I was absolutely not impressed. But it wasn't because I didn't like it or anything. I was one of you out there, you little listeners. And what you're probably saying is, I don't have the time. You know, I kind of like the gerbil wheel. You know, it works for me in some toxic, bizarre way. And I was hopping on and off airplanes, filming my shows for the Discovery Channel in Los Angeles, running from Washington, D.C. to L.A. Pretty sad when the flight attendants know you by first name and are asking about your kids. You know what I'm saying? It's like, get a personal life, will you? And that's kind of where I was. So when you told me you were writing the book Transcendence, get out of here. You know, there was no way. And, you know, there's an important saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Year later, when you showed me the galley to your book and I read it, I was compelled, I was ready. And you know something? I'm a horrible, miserable failure at the other forms of, you know, as it were, meditation outside of my athleticism. And TM fit like a perfect fitting shoe.
This is Bob Roth. You're listening to Success Without Stress.
And my two guests are Dr. Norman Rosenthal, who's a psychiatrist, a scientist, and author of Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through Transcendental Meditation, as well as his most recent best-selling book, The Gift of Adversity, an absolutely beautiful book, which I encourage all of my listeners to pick up and read. And also with us is Dr. Pam Peek, who is an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Maryland and a fellow of the American College of Physicians, and along with everything else, long list of beautiful achievements in her life. She is the author of Hunger Fix, the 3-stage detox and recovery plan for overeating and food addiction. And both Dr. Norm and Dr. Pam participated with me last night at a town hall here in New York City, where we looked at transcendental meditation, creativity, performance, and stress. And before we go to break, I have one last question for each of you. Dr. Norm, how did you come upon transcendental meditation?
You know, I originally did TM in the early 70s. It was shortly after the Beatles had gone to visit Maharishi in India, and it was the cool thing to do. Back in South Africa, I learned TM, but I didn't take it really seriously. And that was my big mistake, because I wish, of course, you can't unwish the past, but thinking differently, I would have kept doing it. But the good news is that 3 or 4 years ago, sitting with a patient in my office, young man with bipolar disorder, he told me that TM was transforming him and that I should do it, and I did.
Dr. Pam.
Well, Dr. Norm was the one who turned me on to it. You know, I'd heard about TM. Here's the sad thing is I have 3 degrees from Berkeley, which I got before I went to medical school. And you think at Berkeley, please, you know, must have been wall-to-wall meditation, TM. I must have missed that class. I don't know. Maybe I hung out with a bunch of losers. Oh, that's right. They were losers. We were all pre-meds trying to ace the MCAT. So I missed that entire thing, that memo still sitting in the inbox. And it flashed forward. It was when, you know, Dr. Norm told me all about it. You know, finally, after a year, very gently, you know, nudging me forward, and that I got turned on to it. And I actually gave it a whirl. I was open to it. And wow, well, what a blissful experience.
When we come back, I'm going to have some specific questions for Dr. Norm in terms of the effects of transcendental meditation on acute problems for people, anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and with Dr. Pam, eating disorders, eating addictions. I want to go deeply into these. So when we come back, more of Dr. Pam and Dr. Norm.
This is Success Without Stress with Bob Roth on Sirius XM Indy 104.
This is Bob Roth, Sirius XM Indy 104, your host of Success Without Stress. My two guests today are Dr. Pam Peek, who is an authority on food addiction. She is also the assistant professor of medicine at the University of Maryland and a fellow of the American College of Physicians. With us is also their dear friends and mine too, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, who is a psychiatrist, scientist, author of Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through Transcendental Meditation. And we are focusing on transcendental meditation, looking in general at meditation and specifically at transcendental meditation and its possible applications or proven applications for a wide range of disorders that people, tens of millions of people, face every single day. I'm going to go right to you, Dr. Norm. I want to talk with you. Is there any evidence, or as a practicing psychiatrist, if one of your patients had a problem of anxiety or depression or bipolar disorder, would you prescribe transcendental meditation? And if so, why?
Bob, I routinely recommend transcendental meditation. It has so many benefits for so many different kinds of people. For anxiety disorders, it's superb. And many people with anxiety disorders have actually been able to reduce their medications and in some cases even stop medications. Now, I hasten to say, if you out there are listening, you're having an anxiety disorder, you're on a medication, please don't stop it without checking with your doctor. All I'm saying is that this is so powerful as an anti-anxiety tool that in some cases, in collaboration with your doctor, it's possible to reduce your medicines.
How does this work? How does sitting with your eyes closed for 20 minutes
doing, you know, I'm going to be the skeptic, doing nothing, have such a profound effect on a problem such as anxiety? Maybe you're not doing
I mentioned
nothing.
To you about those alpha rhythms that go over the prefrontal cortex.
Prefrontal cortex is the...
just behind your forehead, that part of the brain that's been called the CEO of the brain because it has executive functions. It makes decisions. It makes judgments. It judges your circumstances. That has a shaping effect on its function. And in fact, you can actually see it light up when people on imaging techniques, when people do TM. And then other centers that are more deep, lower down in the brain, the brain's alarm clock called the amygdala, they calm down because the prefrontal, it's like if nobody's in charge of an organization, everybody gets anxious and runs around. What can we do? Nobody's in. Then somebody takes over and says, wait a sec, this is what we do. This is how we organize it. And all of a sudden, everybody calms down because everything is now well organized. That's what happens with TM, and that's how it reduces anxiety. And there's tons of data. I won't go into it. There's tons of scientific data. I share it in Transcendence to back up these anecdotal observations. And anecdotal, these are people who've been meditating for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, who've been turned from one of my colleagues saying he was regarded as the most nervous person that somebody had ever met to somebody who, if you met him, is the one of the chillest, coolest, sanest, calmest people that you could ever imagine. So that's the power of this technique.
Thank you, Dr. Norm. Now, Dr. Pam, the whole issue of food addiction, I mean, people know drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, I mean, addictive behaviors, food addiction.
Let's go to addiction in general. How did I get into this? I'm a Pew Foundation scholar in nutrition and metabolism. And for years and years, what I've noticed is that people are leading these chaotic lives and they have what we call disordered eating. Forget the eating disorders for just a moment. I mean, we know what the very small population of people out there who have things like anorexia, bulimia, etc. That's a subset. I'm talking about a very large group of people out there who basically have chaotic eating. They're not nourishing themselves appropriately. They're overeating. They're binging. Most of them have depression, anxiety, and some of the other conditions that Dr. Norm had noted before. Recently, and this is work done by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, specifically their director, Dr. Nora Volkow, what we found through neuroimaging studies is that people have picked up basically an addiction to all kinds of self-destructive behaviors out there. Everything from working from 6 a.m. until, you know, 2 a.m. The next day without a break, to eating trash, to never taking care of themselves spiritually, physically, and otherwise. You get hooked on this stuff. Well, we actually found that food was a huge piece of this because of the refined and processed foods out there, which are not natural, which are hijacking your reward center in your brain. Now, how does meditation, you know, roll into all of this? You know, it's so interesting. If you just look at addiction in general, you know, the traditional addiction, back when the big book was written in alcoholism, for instance, and AA was first founded, guess what the 11th step is? Meditation. They were smarty pants long before we ever had neuroimaging studies that show how powerfully important this is. What does TM actually do? Dr. Norm actually mentioned the issue of the alpha waves and the changes that are unique with transcendental meditation. Tag teaming along with that and segueing off that is the fact that during transcendental meditation and not other forms of meditation, you have an increased blood circulation and flow to the prefrontal cortex, which Dr. Norm called the CEO of the brain. I oftentimes just say the smarty pants part of the brain. And this is where you house the ability to rein in impulsivity, plan, stay vigilant, organize. It's also where creativity is housed as well. So what's interesting is in addiction, there are two parts of the brain that are affected. One is reward center, which is hijacked and goes through organic changes. But the other one, guess what? Is a prefrontal cortex. We have found through glucose metabolism studies that it's grossly impaired and dysfunctional. So it'd be like asking you to run a 5K and two broken legs. how can you possibly make the right decision? How can you find that transcendent moment when, you know, you basically have an impaired part of your brain? This is an organic change we see. The good news is it's reversible. And one of the most integral pieces of this RX for addiction is meditation, specifically transcendental meditation, because we know is going to heal and help you bring to optimal performance the prefrontal cortex, which is what's going to be able to help you continuously and sustainably rein in impulsivity.
I was listening to Dr. Pam Peek, assistant professor of medicine at the University of Maryland and a fellow of the American College of Physicians and the author of The Hunger Fix, the three-stage detox and recovery plan for overeating and food addiction, in which she describes the integral role that transcendental meditation plays in overcoming food addiction. And to my left is my dear friend, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, the clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown Medical School. He has he's the first researcher to describe seasonal affective disorder, SAD, and pioneered the use of light therapy as a treatment, which is now being used by millions of people. And he's the author of Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through Transcendental Meditation. Dr. Norm, when you hear this discussion about, you know, food addiction or other addictive behaviors, so now we're looking at serious problems, people's suffering, disease, disorder. I know that you have a personal interest in the effects of transcendental meditation on the other end of the spectrum, sort of maximizing or optimizing human potential. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Bob, because, you know, it's so amazing what TM can do for people who've got both physical and psychological problems that it's easy to let that overshadow the fact that for millions of people who don't have these kinds of problems, TM has enormous potential. In fact, it doesn't just normalize brain functioning, it optimizes it. It improves resilience. You know, one of the keys to handling adversity, setbacks, disappointments, and things is the capacity to rebound and make the most of it. Creativity, this is essential for getting ahead and, you know, carving one's own path and self-actualizing. All of these things, there's actual data that TM can help. TM improves resiliency. Officer trainees at an elite military academy have scored much higher on scales of resilience after they've learned TM. And these are completely normal people. The sympathetic nervous system comes bounding back in meditators. So if you get an alarm signal, you don't take more time on it than it absolutely needs, and you're back to baseline again. And studies of self-actualization have shown time and again that people are able to reach their goals and their dreams better after they start to meditate. So even if there was nothing about heart attacks, strokes, etc., related to TM, which of course there is, even for every regular Joe or Jill out there, there is something very special to be gained by accessing the transcendence twice a day, every day.
You know, it's interesting. I'd like to segue off the stress resilience. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's the Achilles heel of not just people who have issues with addictive, you know, behaviors, but it's the Achilles heel for the grand majority of people out there. How can they adapt and adjust appropriately? So I did a pilot study with people who were who had met criteria for food addiction. This is in my book, The Hunger Fix. It's a Yale food addiction scale. And in this pilot study, what we did was we had them begin to do their TM practice. They were taught TM. And it was interesting. I didn't know what was going to happen. No one had ever really done this before with this particular population. And this is what I heard, that one of the most difficult things that happens when you hit a challenge in life is that you knee-jerk right into self-destructive behavior. You just knee-jerk. It's a reaction, not a response. So what happens is they found themselves doing something interesting. I told them about the prefrontal cortex. They take their fingers, they touch the middle of their forehead, and they hit a pause button. And when they do TM, it's the gift that keeps on giving all day long. They found themselves more easily hitting the pause button. And there was now a space between stimulus and response. Just like Viktor Frankl's beautiful quote from Man's Search for Meaning. And that is, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is the ability to choose. And in that choice lies your growth and freedom. And for the first time, these people began to feel the one thing you never feel with addictive-like behavior, and that is control, a sense of final control and the ability to be able to pause for a moment and to think and to be centered, to be vigilant. And that's why I love this whole issue of stress resilience. I'm so glad you brought that up.
This is Success Without Stress. We're here with Dr. Norman Rosenthal and Dr. Pamela Peek. I'm Bob Roth. Your comment on that, Dr.
Pam, I just love that image of touching the forehead and reminding oneself of one's prefrontal cortex. May I borrow that in my own clinical practice? I just think it's terrific.
Hit the pause button. That's what they... I love it. It's just a little pause button.
I'm hitting it right now. What can I say?
Don't do that. We're in the middle of a show.
I think it's just great. And of course, as you know, Viktor Frankl is a great hero of mine. I was very fortunate to have actually met the wonderful man in his 90s
lucky.
In Vienna, a great Holocaust survivor, great author of his masterpiece, Man's Search for Meaning. And I think your message is right. Between the stimulus and the response, there is a chance to pause. And what I would say is that the regular practice of TM helps you pause. It helps you pause. And I've seen it, for example, in myself. In the past, maybe I'd be upset with somebody. I would, or thought somebody was upset with me. I would want to rush to the telephone and call that person and hash it out right then. And of course, what would happen? A drama, naturally. And now, it just seems to dissipate. That pause, that touch of the forehead becomes a little easier, a little longer. And guess what? All kinds of little stresses just kind of seem to melt away and life becomes easier. And I think what happens as the transcendence that we can actually observe physiologically in the brain waves of the EEG, as you work more and more, and work is a bad word, as you practice more and more with TM, what happens is that transcendental experience and those brain changes begin to filter into one's daily life and begin to shape who one is. And actually, I know in my case, many other cases, become a better person.
You know, Dr. Norm and I have meditated together, and there's also a collective consciousness that goes on when you do that. It's a really amazing feeling, and I've also done some group meditations, and I know that there's this sense of an interconnectedness. This is why this is so much bigger than just you and me doing our own little thing in life. I mean, that's huge as it is. But can you imagine if other people were also, I mean, it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving. We sort of infect one another with a greater sense of calm, that choice of pausing, greater stress resilience, and maybe a better quality of life. What do you say?
You know, in this flu season, I'd rather say we infuse one another with this.
I kind of like infect.
I'm going to intercede here for a moment. I want to give before we go away to break, I want to give a little working definition of transcendental meditation. And then when we come back from break, I want to really talk about differences in different forms of meditation, different approaches, the so-called mindfulness meditation, the so-called concentration or Zen meditation practices, because meditation itself has become such a generic term. You both have touched on this. No one really knows the differences. So specifically, when we talk about transcendental meditation, here's a working definition. It's a very simple technique, incredibly simple. It's natural, meaning that there is no suggestion, no manipulation. We are all, as human beings, hardwired for the experience. It's not an acquired skill. Number three, it's effortless. Many forms of meditation involve concentration. It's very difficult to do, hard work, long time to master. Transcendental meditation is practiced for 20 minutes twice a day, once in the morning, sitting comfortably in a chair with the eyes closed. It's a quiet, silent practice technique. And again, in the afternoon, towards the end of the day, before dinner, ideally, to wash off the stress of the day and rejuvenate yourself so that you have a lovely evening with your friends and family and sleep better at night. This is what it's not, specifically. There's no philosophy associated with transcendental meditation. You don't have to buy into anything. There's no philosophy. There's no change in lifestyle other than adding the two 20-minute periods. There's no change in diet or anything else. And for me, this is a very important point. There's nothing to believe in. A person can be 100% skeptical, and the technique works just fine. Like you can be skeptical about electricity. You can still turn on a light switch. And specifically during transcendental meditation, I mean, in brief, a person is given a mantra or a sound which has no meaning associated with it. It's a nice sound. It's a sound that's been used for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And to access, to experience, and locate and experience deep within a level of your mind, my mind, everyone's mind, that's already calm, that's already settled, that's wide awake. The ancient meditation texts describe this area, which Norm has used to define, to title his book Transcendence, has described this transcendental level of life as a field of unbounded energy, creativity, intelligence, our own inner self. So transcendental meditation is a specific technique that provides innocent, effortless, repeatable experience of that transcendent level of life. And then, as we've been hearing, that experience creates a constellation of changes in the physiology and the way the brain functions, and has very marked benefits in daily life. Now, I'm going to go to break now, and when we come back, really want to take some time to talk about specifically mindfulness meditation. And I want to say, this is not to judge, to say that this is better or worse than. I'm a firm believer in acknowledging the benefit in everything, but just to understand that there's a different mechanics involved and different outcomes. So this is Bob Roth, and we are Success Without Stress, and we'll be right back.
This is Success Without Stress with Bob Roth on Sirius XM Indy 104. Bob Roth, Executive Director of the David Lynch Foundation, has helped people from all walks of life transform their lives. This is Success Without Stress with Bob Roth on Sirius XM Indy 104.
And my guest today, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, who is a clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown University Medical School and the first researcher to describe seasonal affective disorder, and the author of the New York Times bestseller, Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through Transcendental Meditation. And with us is Dr. Pamela Peek, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Maryland, a Fellow of the American College of Physicians. Dr. Peek is a member of the Maryland Governor's Council on Fitness and a spokeswoman for the American College of Sports Medicine's Exercise in Medicine National Campaign, and she's the author of Hunger Fix, the 3-stage detox and recovery plan for overeating and food addiction. And this is going to be a back and forth. I'm going to start off with Dr. Norm just for a moment. Dr. Norm, everywhere one looks, mindfulness. Is mindfulness meditation? What is mindfulness?
You know, it's a different tradition of meditation, mindfulness. It comprises several different kinds of elements. The one, I know that Dr. Kabat-Zinn brought a lot of teachings from the East, including yoga, including sitting meditation, including breathing and physical things. So I think one of the things with mindfulness is it consists of a lot of different things. So-called open field monitoring, where you monitor your breathing, you monitor your thinking, you monitor your feelings. Focused attention, where you shift your focus to a specific thing. I think the important thing to know that it's very, very different from transcendental meditation. One classic work on the subject says it's difficult. You know, you need to accept that going into it. And that contrasts with my experience and a lot of people's experience with TM, in that it's very easy. It comes very naturally. And you know, there's this kind of ethic in our culture, no pain, no gain. If you don't struggle and if you don't sweat for something, you're not going to gain anything. And the remarkable thing about TM is there is no pain and there's huge gain. There's this uncoupling of these two things that are stuck in our Western minds. So mindfulness is out there. It has a lot of adherence. But the thing I really want to emphasize is that they're very different practices. Don't confuse them. They're not interchangeable.